Hi, and welcome to a little introduction to Season 1 of Queens of Adventure, a podcast where four drag queens play Dungeons & Dragons. I'm your Dungeon Master, Matt Baum, and on this episode, I sat down with our performers, Arsenicki, Freya Love, Butylene O'Kipple, and Harlot O'Scara, for casual chit-chat about the game, their characters, and what it's like to be a drag queen on a fantasy quest. Once you're done listening to this episode, you can jump right to the start of the adventure with Episode 1, so let's get to it. Well, hello and welcome to the very first episode of Behind the Queens. I don't know. We haven't found a name for it yet.
I like that. Behind the Queens.
Behind the Queens. But hi, everybody, and welcome. We're getting ready to play our very first game. But before we do, let's go around the table and introduce everybody. I am, of course, am Matthew, your Dungeon Master. And let's start over to my right.
My name is Arsenicki, and I am the party's resident warlock.
Fabulous.
Hi, Master Daddy. My name is Freya Love, and I am your resident Genesee, but you can call me Hennessy if you're henna nasty.
My name is Butylene O'Kipple, and I am the alchemist.
Explosions.
My name is Harlot O'Scara, and I'm your party thief. Watch your bags and your coins and your husband, too, because I'm stealing everything out there.
You've got like, whenever you leave like every recording session, you're wearing like a dress and it's just like a hoop skirt with like stolen things all like concealed in the ruffles.
Giant pumpkin pants full of goblets.
She showed up in a pencil skirt. I don't know how that happened.
How's she leaving in a full gown?
So here we go. This is the very first episode we've recorded. What is this show and what are we doing? Like, how do you, when people like hear about what you're doing with this project, how do you explain it to them?
First, I tell them that it's drag queens playing Dungeons and Dragons. And they're like, okay, yeah, but what? And I'm like, no, for real. Like, it's drag queens sitting down and playing a 3 to 5 hour game of Dungeons and Dragons.
I pretty much say the exact same thing. It's more or less like, yeah, it's Dungeons and Dragons just with drag queens. So it's exactly what it sounds like. Just more fabulous.
Yeah, and it's, I think it's a little more enhanced for entertainment value and purposes. When I tell people that I'm doing, you know, this kind of a thing, they're like, well, that sounds a little boring. And it's like, no. It's a lot funnier and a lot faster pace and higher energy than you would maybe expect. And it's sort of, it's designed to be that, which I think is really effective.
I just describe it like, you know, watching I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant, where it's just like, you don't really know what's going to happen, but then you just sit down on the toilet and something happens. And then you're a mother.
Precisely.
But with drag queens.
I was going to say something profound, but my train of thought just got derailed and 75 people were killed.
Yeah, you really took me there.
Well, you're welcome.
Yeah, that was vivid. Way to paint a word picture for the listeners.
I think that's probably the best description, though.
Yeah, I didn't know I was pregnant with drag queens.
We're here, it's like a clown car. So, like, how did this happen? Like, cast your minds back to, it was over the summer, right? Where we all started talking about doing this.
I got a message from a mutual friend of everybody, Butch Alice, and she was like, hey, would you be, like, are you interested in doing this? And I honestly thought it was just, like, a drag show. Like, pick a couple numbers, stick with the theme, and I didn't actually understand what I was really getting into. So then when I got a message from Matt, the Dungeon Master, I was kind of like, okay. And then he's like, well, what time can I call you? And I'm like, all right, I guess we're going to have a conversation. Like, I'm free at this time. And then you called me and we had the conversation. I was like, what the fuck did I just get myself into? But I have not regretted it since.
Good. Good. I'm glad. Yeah, it's tough to like describe to people sometimes because there's nothing to compare it to. Like, people know what drag numbers are and they know what like a D&D podcast is, maybe. But then, you know, whenever we're going to like a venue for one of our live shows and I'm describing it, they're like, oh yeah, sure, we do drag shows all the time. And I'm like, wait, but no, but like, we're going to be sitting. And, like, yeah, and like, how is it, like, how do dice rolls work at your venue? This is not a question that a lot of bars get asked.
Do you come with your own dice boy or is it bring your own?
Right. BYO dice boy.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, we started with a live show here in Seattle. That would have been like August, I think.
I think so. It was August or October.
Mm-hmm.
My, how the time flies.
Yeah. And it's like
a construct.
Right.
I think, Harlot, you're the only one who has played D&D before, right?
Yes, I think so. I've played D&D since like middle school. It was actually, it goes back to my Eagle Scout days when my scoutmaster convinced my parents to let me play D&D because they thought it was evil. And he's like, just let him play the game.
I mean, it might be evil, but...
It might be evil, but I did it when I was a kid, so it's fine.
Yeah, and right? It's good for it's learning good. Math.
Exactly. It's great for learning math and learning, like, keeping people's noses in books.
What were you expecting when you heard, like, D&D? Like, as something that... Like, especially if you'd never, like, touched it before.
Oh, I mean, my gosh. I've
touched many things before.
Sometimes in a dungeon as well.
I was expecting this, like... I was expecting, like, we were going to have to, you know, really... I know this is, like, book after book after book. I thought we were going to have to, like, read the whole thing. There was going to be, like, a test. And, like, there's just going to be this whole process to get going. But it actually ended up turning out that it was... a lot more intuitive than I thought it was going to be. And it was drawing a lot more on like the improvisational skills that drag requires of you in ways that I hadn't expected. So in a way I was almost more equipped to do this than I thought I was initially. So it's like, hey, if it's an improv game, everything becomes a lot easier.
Yes.
We're pretty much playing scenes out of a hat from Whose Line. Like
it's like a for 2 hours
improv project.
Precisely.
While actively sitting.
We were talking about, yes, yeah. Very active sitting is like we described the show.
And pulse, 2, 3, 4. Come on, ladies, work it out.
I'm doing kegels.
Right now.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to leave like with the strongest kegels in the world. Because we're all like, yes. There's like a little count. There's a little metronome going.
I haven't let go of my kegel since 1990, Brenda.
That's what's really behind the queens.
Their strong pelvic floor.
I had a similar experience of being like, oh, D&D is too hard. Because, you know, I made the mistake of looking through like the... expert level instruction manuals and everything.
Right. You're like, I got this. I've done things.
Oh God. You know, you just like dive in and you're like, okay, there's so much, like there's so many charts. So it does look very scary at first. But it just like, it's kind of like, what direction do you come at it from? Mm-hmm. So do you come at it from like the chart side or do you come at it from like, just play pretend side?
You come at her sideways.
Never saw us coming.
Pew pew.
What's the, like, why do drag plus D&D? Like, Arson, you kind of mentioned it blends that, like, improv skill that you've got. What is it about drag and D&D that, like, what happens when you combine those?
I think it's an amazing intersection of people, you know, outsiders from a couple different areas of society, you know, that can, like, come together and have this common point, you know, of interest and create space for those people that maybe weren't inclined to come down to the basement in Kremwerk to see a drag show, or maybe even like, you know, people that like drag queens but haven't had exposure to Dungeons and Dragons, you know, and like bring all those people together so we could be all just be like, oh yeah, we're all weird and queer and... you know, have fun.
And it's so funny too, because when we do the live shows, especially because you get that live audience reaction, you can definitely hear the people who are there who have extensive Dungeons and Dragons knowledge, because like Harlot is someone who is super proficient in that and knows the rules really well and can use those to her advantage and make jokes about them that are like really like referential in that regard. And like those things get some of the crowd going, but then like, you know, you'll make a RuPaul's Drag Race reference that like the other half of the room knows, and you hear that recognition too, and it's like so funny to see like what lands with certain kinds of people, because it's just such an odd mix of folks who are there to see a show of some variety.
I really love how like it kind of gives an opportunity to demystify the geeky factor of D&D for queer people who might not have access otherwise. And it also gives people who, like, geeks and D&D nerds who have felt like outsiders their entire lives, who have been trying to find their tribe, being able to come to this opportunity to have Dungeons & Dragons with drag queens and realize, whoa, I think that I need drag queens in my life. Like, geeks and queens get along,
mesh very well.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's really cool that, like, both mediums are extremely imaginative. Like, you have drag queens, you have to imagine, like, this amazing, fabulous, like, just persona, and then you have the geek world where you're doing Dungeons and Dragons and you're imagining this amazing, fabulous world. So like having that bridge of imagination, just kind of connecting both of them together, is really cool.
You know, and something that kind of crystallized, especially for me, was when there was a show in San Francisco with like a San Francisco cast that we did. And in listening to the folks that we had in that show talk about like their style of drag and their interests, I was like, oh my gosh, every single one of you is a huge nerd. Like, we had Poi Del Mar, who's a big wrestling nerd.
Oh my God. And she loves like comic books and Wonder Woman and stuff like that.
Exactly. Yeah. We had Kai Kaibi Michaels and Erica Clash and Kitty Powers, and they're all like geeks about something different. And, you know, just that like personal quality of being obsessed with something, whatever it is. Like, you know, it could be drag, it could be comic books, it could be D&D, it could be cats, it could be shoes, whatever. Cats and shoes were the first two things I went to, so I guess that says something about me.
Let's get some shoes.
Oh my God. Oh my God, cats and shoes. blah, blah, blah. So anyway, so like my big discovery there was like, okay, yeah, we're all big nerds. And so let's just like stuff really intensely.
Well, and once you realize that you can geek out about something, it kind of gives you access and more latitude to make room for other people's geeky interests. And like, I think that's why queers and geeks get along so well, because we tend to fixate.
What is, like, do you have, like, very personal obsessions and fixations? For me, it's sewers, which is super strange, and I don't talk about it a lot because it's weird, but, like, I just think sewers are really fascinating.
Well, that would explain your YouTube thing and everything.
That's why I have a podcast, literally a podcast called The Sewers of Paris.
Have you ever been in sewers in Paris?
Yes, I went to the sewers of Paris. I literally
have I'm been. Just making sure. Yes.
I've been in sewers in multiple cities. That was my thing. James, poor James. James is my partner, by the way, listeners. And poor James has been dragged to more drainage systems than he wants to talk about.
Well, you tell me when you find a clown down there, girl.
Oh my God, that would horrify. So I'm afraid of clowns and I love sewers. And so those two things together would break me.
Oh my God.
So you've never seen it.
I've never seen it. I've never, like, just lurking. Oh my God.
I'm terrified, but if you ever want to sit down and like have someone who's
read
also scared of clowns, oh my God.
Book. It's amazing.
Yeah, I've
and it's heard a nice little it's a nice little scope into that time and like the writing. It's amazing.
I love Stephen King's writing.
There's in his autobiography. Is it his autobiography? His like book about writing. It's autobiography. And
it's
a little
an
bit
autobiography
about
writing.
Yeah. And so it's really the book's autobiography. but he talks about like how there's this like phase of his life where like he just doesn't remember the things that he wrote because of all of the drugs that he was doing, Stephen King. And like looking back, how many of his books are just like the monster in the book is just whatever drug he was taking at the time. So anyway.
Actually, Stephen King is one of those kind of obsessive things for me. The Dark Tower, like I've.
Which I just started reading like probably 4 months ago, but I haven't like, I probably stopped at like chapter four. I need to get back to it.
Keep in it because like he ends up getting into that, like you end up encountering different monsters or beasts and like sometimes it's psychosis, sometimes it's drug addiction, sometimes it's like family issues. It's like also unrelated, but the way that he writes kids is so good.
What's your obsession, Beautily?
Gosh, I guess... I'm just like constantly moving. I'm sort of obsessed with like dance and how people move their bodies. Ryan Heffington is one of my very favorite choreographers. So I've been into him for a long time. He did like the choreography for the OA, the Netflix series. Yeah.
Oh.
Where they do this like casting spells with movement, you know? And it's all sort of like almost like pedestrian movement.
That's the show with Phyllis, right? From The Office.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yes.
It's all about near-death experiences.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched it, go check it out, because it's spoopy. The first two episodes are a little slow, but then it gets really good.
I seem to recall there's a butt in the pilot. Like, there's a really good man's bat.
Oh, yeah, because there's, like, a blowjob scene or something.
And ooh.
The ginger kid who's a teenager.
Oh, yeah. I need to watch the OA.
Some girl. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no social skills, but a nice body.
Do you have, like, a favorite dance? Like, I don't know, the cha-cha. Or like,
one,
like,
two, step.
I'm more obsessed with, like, choreographers, you know, like Aya Sato. Is another one of my favorite dancers and movers. She sort of dances in like a new ways vogue, would you say? And does a lot of like new ways hands kind of stuff.
But what is a new ways hand?
Yeah.
Well, it's like, in vogue culture, you know, there's old way and then there's new way. Like things have evolved over time.
What's the new way? Like what's the...
It's just it's a little bit more free than like the traditional shapes of like.
So like less what's his name? Oh my god, I can't remember. Why do I feel like Willy an Ninja? Awful? Yes, less Willy Ninja, more Beja. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ah. Exactly. Yeah.
I want to see New Way. I want to see O Way. I want to see you. Okay, I'm done. Come on, J-Lo.
Also, who else am I obsessed with right now? What's the heels?
Giannis Marshall.
Giannis Marshall. I'm secretly in love with Arnaud.
He's the tall one.
Oh, he's so cute.
Oh, my goodness. So cute and so smiley. Oh, my goodness.
And 8 feet tall.
Yes. Everybody just like simultaneously purred into the microphone. Okay. Freya, how about you?
I would say I'm like obsessed with imagination and television. It's really weird. Like I kind of grew up just like glued to the TV, and like I would walk to school imagining myself as like Storm from X-Men, or mm-hmm. like this glamorous witch with an enormous cape flying through the air on a broomstick just to get places faster. I guess flying would be my obsession, really. But it's strange how that kind of correlates with everything that I'm doing now, more or less.
Do you have something that you just like watched or continue to watch over and over and over and over?
Definitely X-Men Charmed and anything witchy, really.
X-Men Charmed? I've never
X-Men heard. Charmed, yeah. It's where they're witches.
Or
but
Mia
also
Donut
mutants.
Storm.
But I think X-Men or anything witchy are like the things that I constantly go back to, because I just love the storylines of like how they were, you know, outsiders or mm-hmm. had secrets that they couldn't tell people, ergo Charmed, where they're, you know, three witches that they have to try to lead normal lives, but they're not normal.
Because they're married to angels and shit.
Yeah, and if they try to tell someone who's normal, like, oh, I'm a witch, it'll like ruin their lives. So yeah, it was very strange how like that's kind of where I kind of stuck to.
What's your witch aesthetic?
That's so fun. I would say Alyssa Milano, because she's very like, especially in her blonde hair phase where she was like always wearing those gypsy dresses or like the sweetheart half like sleeve thing that was off the shoulder with the thing and the tattoos.
A little Stevie Nicks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Alyssa Milano or Stevie Nicks, but like sexier.
And okay. Also, who doesn't want to be Alyssa Milano as Stevie
Tell
Nicks?
Tell me about it.
Alyssa Milano is just like the host of Project Runway All Stars.
And she's
for
so
me
beautiful.
Forever in my mind, she's encapsulated as a beautiful, glowing, radiant, pregnant mom.
Yeah.
And I'm like, don't ever change. I mean, I hope that you don't have to carry a baby at all times, but you're beautiful right now as you are.
For the rest of your life.
She's like our society's fertility.
I wonder if someone ever, like, you know that like fake baby syndrome? I wonder if anyone's ever gotten plastic surgery to look like they had all the baby, like, and then like moved around from relationship to relationship.
Shut
and then moved
up.
To the next city like Mrs. X.
Oh,
in,
you're describing Debbie Jelinski.
Right.
Wait, this is a real
no,
thing.
Well, kind of. It's
well, I mean,
she,
didn't
no,
it's
she,
was pregnant, she
didn't pretend
but.
She was pregnant, but she just like went from man to man in the Addams Family values.
Oh, yeah. I was also channeling So I Married an Axe Murderer a little bit.
Okay, but, there you go.
And her whereabouts are unknown.
That yes. was spot on Scottish accent.
Oh, I found that a Scottish accent is a bit more dwarvish.
I'm so mad at you right now. You are giving me Miss Doubtfire realness. It just needs to be like a slight bit softer.
I'll give you a seamless eyeshadow application.
And now you're starting to sound like John McClane.
I'm looking at Arson and I can't like speak with a Scottish accent and not imagine John McClane.
Right.
Giving you a seamless application.
So Arson, what's your obsession?
That actually segues perfectly. I could watch YouTube makeup tutorials for days on end, and I know that because I have done that.
A YouTube K-hole of makeup.
Yeah,
tutorial.
pretty much anyone who has like like 500,000 subscribers or more, I've probably watched like most of their content, and I just like there's something like obviously you want to like as a drag performer you want to learn about makeup stuff, but there's honestly something really soothing about just like hitting play on like a 30 minute to like an hour YouTube video and just like, I don't know, laying in bed and listening to someone being like, so now I'm gonna blend with this beauty blender and see how it compares to my buffing brush.
I'll use my Zola 228 brush.
I can only stick to like a 5 minute video. Like I'm a
oh,
Nikki
really?
Tutorials and what's the other one? Manny MUA, where it's just like under 20 minutes.
Oh, I mean, there are ones where it's like 2 hour long, holy like shit. End of year, like best of this particular brand. And you just like go through the whole, and I'll watch that one for that brand. I'll watch them for like 15 other brands and just like go through everything because knowledge is power. And my anxiety needs to be calmed somehow and in some way.
Is this just basically like what Bob Ross does for a lot of people?
Honestly, like that's yeah. in many ways. I've been I don't like watching drag makeup tutorials though. I don't know what I think I feel like a lot of drag tutorials are like, here's how to make this person's face, or like mm-hmm. here's how to make like this generic kind of thing mm-hmm. happen. Whereas like I feel like the more general interest makeup tutorials are about like what types of makeup do what general things, so that you can like make the decision on like mm-hmm. what's right for your face, as opposed to watching someone be like, here's how you do make exactly this happen. It's like, yeah, well, what if I don't
how
want
I
that
do
exactly
my
to happen
Aja face, yeah, or my Trixie
right,
Mattel
right?
face,
and
or,
the other one that I've been really obsessing is I've been watching a lot of SFX makeup tutorials.
Oh,
like Glam and Gore is
yes!
someone that I could watch over and over again, and she's the kind of person where it's like, you literally, she'll be like, oh, all you need is like a little bit of liquid latex and some Cheerios, and here's how we do like yeah. a trypophobia face. And I'm just like, how
Have
in the world could
seen,
you possibly
you
do that?
Made You Look by Lex?
Yes.
I love her. And she's the one who got me into body painting on my face.
Yeah.
I use
a
lot
of body on your face.
Well, not really, but I use body painting on my face for like certain things. Like I use body paint for my crease or my eyeliner and stuff
really?
Like that. Yeah. And it makes it look a lot more airbrushed. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. It's just like those simple sorts of like cheapo like things that can really like take you from point
like
A to
preparation
point B.
Underneath your eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, oh, you're gonna put coffee grounds on your
girl.
Face and put latex over it, and that's how you get that textured skin effect. I'm like, geez, that is so creative. So like those kinds of people I'm also really into as well.
Oh, that is fascinating.
Yeah.
I had like similarly like a YouTube obsession for a little while with like car repair things.
Oh my God.
Because I had to like, I got into this because we had to replace a battery in our car, and I was like, I'm not paying $300 to pay somebody.
Was this in San Francisco? Or
no, this was here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so like I bought the battery and like took some pieces of the car apart, but like I was watching all these YouTube videos, and then I was like, there's something just really appealing about these like butch men with their dirty hands like just like clanking around in an engine.
Yeah.
Girl, I'll tell you about butch men clanking around in an engine.
Yeah.
I used to be engaged to one, girl. It was nice.
Clang, clang, clang.
So yeah, I get that, like the appeal of the just watching someone craft for like an hour and be like, oh look, you made something. So,
same. I was just gonna say it's nice seeing somebody do things that you want to sort of learn.
Mm-hmm.
But like the reason why we don't like watching drag makeup tutorials, because it's like we already kind of know that, and like we already know that general thing. Like I want to see someone do something else that I yeah. like. I'm sort of interested in. And like learn about.
So speaking of like people making things, I want to talk a little bit about like your characters and who you are in the game. So I am all of the NPCs, which means the non-player characters. So I'm like all the voices of like the weirdos that you run into. But who are you guys? Who is like, who's Arson in the world of the Queens of Adventure?
So I am from the Underdark. That is where I grew up. I had to learn the hell out of some survival skills in order to, spoiler alert, survive, which is probably why my survival modifier is so high. And I always felt the need to leave the Underdark. That was very important to me. There's something more out there for me. I sound like a freaking like ingenue in a musical. Like, it's time to go to New York City. Step off the bus and new me.
You're Ariel. You want to be part of their world.
Yeah, right?
Hey, mister, where does somebody go to become a high-class hooker around
Precisely.
Here?
Precisely.
You want to be a star, don't you?
But like with jazz hands. So the way out for me was by dedicating my entire existence to a patron who could assist me in getting out of here, the Underdark. But I would be forever indebted to them, and I would need to do their bidding pretty much for the rest of my days. And that particular patron is none other than the one and only Samantha Jones from the hit HBO television series Sex and the City. And she has appeared to me many times over the course of the adventure. And
sometimes in a hot tub.
Yeah. And she talks to me and I talk to her, and I in the game and really outside of the game, I owe a lot of my life to her. So she's pretty inspirational in a lot of ways.
How, like, out of the game, like, because I've always been curious about, like, because when we asked you, we did like a game like a couple months ago where we're like, what does your patron look like, and you like went right to Samantha Jones.
Yeah.
So I'm like, how come?
Well, I do this thing where I watch the entire complete series of Sex and the City just like on a loop. So like right now I'm on season 6A, and
as opposed to
6B, there is a 6A and a 6B. And so Sex and the City is always kind of on my mind. And like when I think of like, oh, I'm going to like my thing is like when I want to relax and watch the show, I'll be like, oh, I'm going to hang out with my girlfriends, you know? And so like when I watch the show, even, you know, after so many years of it being on the air and being away from it being on the air, every time I watch an episode, Samantha is the only person who is right about everything. I find, and like there's parts of her that I find frustrating, but I find all the other characters immensely more frustrating. But even every single thing Samantha says, especially when they're at brunch, she's trying to give like relationship advice, it still holds up however many years later. So if I ever need advice, relationship advice from her, I just turn on any given episode of Sex and the City and she's got me taken care of.
Maybe I should borrow that Sex and the City. Do you have it on DVD?
I steal someone's HBO Go's. So if you're crafty in that way, maybe you can get Harlot to steal a password for you.
I can figure something out.
So I might be watching Sex and the
Honestly,
City later.
Seriously, it's fantastic relationship advice.
She is remarkably wise.
Yeah. Her like conception of what a relationship is extremely modern and was probably very shocking at the time. Mm. But like these days, there's a reason why like the gays love her so much, is because like she's very matter of fact and very with it.
Who doesn't love a deja fuck?
Precisely.
Or she was so open about sex and like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she's kind of like, she's very much from the world of the Golden Girls, where they're just like, we just have relationships and casual sex.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We're just people and we have bodies. We do things.
Yeah.
Just so happens that we're old ladies.
And she's the kind of person where it's like, you know, the other characters can sometimes get a little like, oh, I'm so sad that someone brought. If someone messes with her, she's like, goodbye. I am burning everything in my path and leaving nothing untouched. And good riddance for it, you know?
She's such probably learn a thing or two about that.
She's so, like, self-actualized. Yes. And, like, knows who she is. Yeah, so, she's really aspirational.
Yeah.
Well, you've been listening to the Sex and the City cast, and...
Seriously.
Wow, yeah. So, Freya, let's talk about your character. Who's Freya in Queen's Adventure?
Freya is a water Genesee, or you can... We already went through this. A Hennessy, if you're Henna Nasty. She, right,
come
you're
on,
welcome, you're welcome. She comes from, I'm going to look at my thing because I am terrible at memory. I forget everything every single time. So let's see where I'm, there's something about a Poseidon and Cher. Okay, so anyway, so I come from this like water-based land where it's kind of like a really modern city, but like everything's grown in plants and like made of like plant life. Anyway. I kind of just lost my powers out of nowhere, and I went to travel to find my, like, I just kind of, like, left. I was like, all right, see you guys later. Left in secret. Didn't let anybody know. Didn't leave a phone number or a, like, contact list of where you can find me, and just kind of went on an adventure on my own to find where my powers went, what happened, and along the way, if you saw the live shows, I was probably a little bit more powerful than I should have been. But I mean imagination, right?
By powerful, you mean drunk.
Drunk. Mostly drunk with power.
Or
drunk
else.
With power.
And booze. Drunk and with power and booze.
Drunk with mostly booze. So I kind of just went on an adventure, found a group of friends, and it just kind of meshed from there, there isn't very much to say. It's, she's very simple. She lost her trident, so she no longer chews gum.
Oh, my God.
Can we roll for halitosis joke already?
Yeah, that's kind of...
So, and like as a Genesee, like you're an elemental. Mm-hmm. So like you...
I'm very like by myself, mm-hmm. cool, very simple. Don't ask me too many questions. I'm kind of like Dory. I don't know who you are.
Oh, look, a castle.
And it's all about the water for you.
Yes. Oh, yes.
I found your trident.
You Ooh, better
Yeah,
work.
We've got some art on the table here.
I love like, this mermaid tail, by the way. That is so
you.
Sickening.
And it actually fits perfectly.
And I love that it's a
feet.
Real body. Like, yeah. That's a real body.
Well, and I was, yeah. We're looking at some paper dolls that I did for some of the exclusive content for you Ooh. Queens of Adventure followers. And it was super fun to get to put these together.
By the way, if you could look at our table right now, there's so much coffee and Red Bull.
Yeah, that's true. There's it's kind of, we built a shrine to coffee right now. And caffeine. It's a shrine to caffeine.
Oh, and also my patron is Cher. So every so often oh when God. I say a spell, I'll usually like quote something from Cher and go, ho. So that's super fun. And, you know, honestly, I think the reason I picked Cher is because I like Samantha, she's kind of always been there without actually being there. Like you kind of, I've always listened and heard Cher music my entire life. Same with Madonna. And didn't really realize it until like my 20s. And I was like, how have I been listening to this my entire life and not actually know what I was listening to until like later on?
And she was just there.
Yeah,
just
she was just there. So she's always been
Cher
there
was there.
Oh,
she believes in life after yeah. love.
She does.
And so you're devoted. You're a cleric. You're basically she's a religious figure for mm-hmm. you. Perfect. As she should be for all of us.
Probably. I mean, really, though.
Yeah. I mean, have you seen her Twitter? Just
girl bashing anything she can bash politically. I like it.
Yeah.
She is there. She is, and if you come for her, baby, you better be prepared.
I love a strong twat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She'll do it in all caps too.
Yeah.
Butylene. Who's Butylene?
Who is Butylene? Butylene O'Kipple is the alchemist of the group. She's very imaginative and sometimes just makes everything up as she goes along.
She's a tiefling, right?
Yes, she is a feral tiefling.
She's not had her shot.
Okay, that was sexy. Do it again. One for the road.
Ah. It's also a little bit chewy, though.
it's also Gina. Ever so slightly the turtle noise from Master of Disguise.
Oh, my God.
Turtle.
You're welcome.
We got a whole menagerie here.
You know, I tried doing it once, zoom. But it just sounded like I was gargling.
So what's your specialty? What does Butylene like to do?
Butylene likes to blow things up, you know. It's a very good way to just, like, let the pieces fall where they may and reset, I think, you know.
She's just here to fight.
It's true.
You stop it.
Yeah, I grew up traveling. I learned everything I know from a mentor that I still owe a lot of money to. But I just keep changing my number, and I don't answer 888 phone calls that show up on my phone. That's been working out fine.
Anything from an area code that you're not familiar with.
Exactly.
No, ma'am.
I don't know anybody in Ohio.
I am familiar with.
So you just like to stay one step ahead, and you're constantly on the move, and change. Yeah. It's all about change.
Exactly. I also have a mutagen that I'm fond of using, which turns me into Mutylene.
Mutylene. Smash.
Yes.
So indeed. It's a little unusual to have an alchemist because it's sort of it's not quite off label. I guess it kind of is. It's not like an official D&D thing, so it's sort of an expansion that we've got you like that all of your magic is like potions and tinctures and things in bottles.
I love expansion.
Yeah, so you've got
Dragon
like
expansion pack.
Yep. It keeps growing and growing. So you're a chemist.
Yeah, but also I'm a chemist with like horns and claws and a tail that I get to use sometimes too. I love the word bludgeoning damage. You know, bludgeon.
When it's such a great phrase. Look, like at the live shows, because you've got like literal horns on your head when we do the live shows.
I love it.
It's such a great touch.
I get to switch them up to. They're always different color or shape, you know. And oh my goodness, I just with one of my dear friends, James Prost, just last night made myself a little harness. He does leather work, and so I used. I have these old. Bicycle inner tubes, which are made out of butyl, which is where my name comes from, butylene. But we made a harness out of these basically bicycle inner tubes that have like stitch detail. And we made it into this whole thing. And then in the back, there's like a little place for a tail to clip on.
Oh, shut up. I'm excited to see this.
I know. I can't wait to bust that out for some of the next live show or
oh my God, I'm so
whichever
excited.
Comes first. You know.
Here's my prediction for 2018 is it's going to be all about tails this year. Tails are very in.
Oh.
That's what I think is going to happen. We did a live stream a couple weeks ago with another group of queer nerds, Anthony Oliveira and Carlos
Mazza.
What
did you call me?
Yes, you know, nothing personal. What? So we, you know, did this like live stream where we played D&D with some other folks, and Anthony just had a tail handy because we were in the Feywild in that one, and there were some transformations going on, and he was just like, oh. Yeah, like I could just, you know, his character like had a tail and he's like, I could just wear this. And he like happened like within arm's reach of his desk had a tail there. So this is my prediction. The gays are on a zeitgeist curve where we always know like what's happening with fashion before the
funny story. I have like two raccoon tails that I keep above one of my
there is that like puff of white on the bookshelf up there. That is my rabbit tail that I have just in case I need one.
Just in case of the zombie apocalypse, wear a rabbit tail.
Yep. Yep. You'll blend right in. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so here to here, tails gonna be very big, and then like the straight people will be doing it in like 5 years, and we'll be over mm-hmm. it,
and then we'll be like, we've moved on to horns.
Yes,
right. It's gonna be like it'll be like mustaches.
Well,
you know?
I don't think we've done horns yet. We've done the cat ears, and then Ariana Grande started doing it, so we got over it.
I think it's gonna be like false noses next, or like ear tips.
Ooh, I love
like
ear
elfy
tips.
Ears. Be like,
you've got like an elfin look. Sure,
maybe she's born with it. Probably
maybe
not.
It's butylene. So Harlot, who is Harlot in the world of the Queens of Adventure?
Harlot Oscara is your friendly, affluent human rogue. She was raised in the lap of luxury in the town, the city of Sknorf. Her boyfriend growing up was named Ramshackle, mm-hmm. The son of the king's of the Thieves Guild. The Ramshackle's currently her fence.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not really looking forward to going back to Sknorf and seeing Ramshackle because she may have given Ramshackle's wife, Belfry, a pot of face lotion with some negative enchantment. So I'm sure the next time that she goes back home, it's going to be fun.
There might be some words.
As a teenager...
Freddy Krueger-looking woman. Might be some
As a teenager, she learned some history and language from the court scholar, as well as learned how to fight with a man-at-arms. Though around the age of 17, 18, something happened, and she a memory that she has blocked presently in her mind. She's trying to revisit it. Something happened, though, that made her need to leave her affluent, rich, wealthy home.
And now you're out in the world.
Now I'm out in the world. And the only thing that really makes me happy is taking shit that's not mine.
Yeah, you're doing crimes.
Doing crimes, doing jobs, blow, rim, sure.
Yep.
Coin, stabbing people in the back.
Sleight of handing.
Bitch slapping people with my mage hand, which is now invisible. Yes. Oh, they better wait.
Girl.
Invisible Higgins. Slaps. Yeah, invisible.
That's exciting.
Can I punch with
invisible
with my
bitch
hand?
Slapping.
I mean, it's not going to be like the strongest punch,
but like subdual
like,
damage.
Ow.
Like. Yeah. Yeah. Like or like distraction damage?
Sure, sure. It'd be sure. Like a little like, what was that?
I guess I couldn't slap that hard anyway, so.
Yeah. I mean,
negative one strength check, so.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, like cuz you're a rogue, so like you're all about like the sneaks and like slipping past the guards and being invisible and stealthy and cat-like.
And if possible, disarming some traps, maybe finding secret doors. And I'm excited to pick some pockets, though, because I think that now that I'm level 3, I'm proficient enough that I can probably get away with it, especially with that legerdemain.
It'll be our little secret.
She can't help but be a little bit mischievous, but it makes for fun moments in the show, like throwing Pomeranians into Fiery Pyres.
Oh yes, you did do that, didn't
Shouting
you?
Shouting Kali, Kali Ma.
Poor Buffy.
Kali Ma.
Or, yeah, giving my ex's wife acid face cream.
Was that,
that was
light
one of those,
surgeon?
Like, last bit of the game. I guess I'm kind of drunk. Let's just have a fun moment. See where this goes. Can I get away with this? Oh, I did get away with it. Shit. What's
well,
that
so far, sure, you did.
So far. It's a good thing I've got disguised self.
Yeah, you just, like, you see her and you're like, well, I'm just going to do, 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 do. And
I'm going to disguise self as a donkey.
There you go. Well, we've got some tales for you. And just to be clear, like with the podcast, we're sort of starting at not exactly starting from scratch with everybody because we've had the live shows, we've had some games and recordings and things. But with the podcast, we are starting at a place where anyone can jump in. So you don't have to know the live shows. You don't have to know all the past stuff. This is going to be sort of a starting point where there's a little bit of a story reset. Kind of, but it's not really a reset, but like a starting point, basically, like a place to begin. But you also have this like rich backstory. You've all got a tapestry.
A new adventure begins.
Yes, yes, a new adventure
it's
begins.
It's the next level. Level two.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Except you're level 3. But
you also don't have to know that we're actually only drag queen impersonators. We just pretend.
But, well, I mean, and that's one of the big things that, like, we love about doing the live shows because you're all actual working drag queens and, like, you do shows and you go out and perform and you're part of the community. So, like, we want to be very clear about, like, the drag not just being like, haha, it's a man in a dress. How crazy.
Right.
So, yeah, it's
these
there's
are
something.
Are our actual life choices.
Yeah. Look at your life. Look at your choices.
And revel in them because they were yes, all ma'am. Correct. Last question to kind of leave with is, what are you expecting from the podcast? Like, what lies ahead?
I am expecting new opportunities for creative problem solving under tight situations, i.e. every time that I've done drag or improv or performance and getting to put that into D&D and in a big podcasty project.
What is, can you just describe like the kind of drag that you do? Like when you're like out on stage, what are people seeing?
I feel like what I try and bring to stage is I love garment and costume construction. And so I am always going to try and give you a beautiful costume. I'm going to try and give you something that's fun and campy or high energy. Yeah, I just like to make sure that people have a good time.
And you bring a beard.
And a beard. That's
yes.
True.
Yes. BYOB.
Bring your own beard.
I'm looking forward to being able to create content that anyone all over the planet can access at any time. I know that there are people who I know and love, and even people who I don't know but still really love by proxy, who are out there who really want to support, you know, local drag work or drag work that doesn't involve getting on a national television show. But it's like, it's hard to do that sometimes when you can't like fly across the country and go to the gig. And so it's exciting to be able to create content that anyone can listen to because it means that you can connect with people based not on location, but on shared interest, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, and you can do it with a scruffy face and without shaving your eyebrows off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's also a plus.
Or keep the eyebrows, don't keep the eyebrows, do whatever you want. Move your eyebrows
around.
Wear
pants, don't wear pants. It's all to you.
Live
choose
your
adventure.
Sexy party.
I think that's one of the things I'm excited for is to be the soundtrack of so many people folding their underwear. You know? So I know that's what I do while I listen to
podcasts.
If I
can distract you during your workday, my job is done.
Right. I'm excited about being able to reach people far and wide without like with a group and like really introducing people to the queer space and kind of just like, you know, people who may be curious or just want to like find out what gay people sound like or the imagination of a homosexual. Just to like tap into that and just be like, oh, okay, well, this is, you know, make it more normal for people. And I guess I wanted to say mainstream. But not really, in a weird kind of way.
Here's what we're doing, is we're reaching out to the mainstream and being like, you don't gotta be like that.
Yeah.
Come with us.
Come
be
to the
weird.
Dark side, it's right. Fine.
We have fabulous good. Costumes and cookies.
Less mainstream, more golden shower.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yep, that's our slogan.
Less golden shower, more golden girls.
That's catchy. But yeah, just reaching out like to a different type of, you know, someone who wouldn't normally be able to like go out of their, you know, home to go see a drag show, but they can like turn on their phone and listen to, you know, a drag queen podcast.
And it's like a podcast. It's like a drag show's happening around the bus with them. It's drag shows happening in the dentist's office. Yeah, drag
they
show.
Can, they can put in
are.
Their earphones and no one really has to know.
Perfect. Perfect. Or maybe they do.
Or maybe they do. Because they're on their phone on Tumblr with someone right behind them looking at what the dirty shit they're they're checking out. Like, girl, I see you.
Well, I'm looking forward to being a really mean DM and putting you guys through the ringer.
Yeah,
and...
you've been very, very nice to these player characters. I'm excited for you to like get a little bit hard on them because I'm used to like I'm playing an evil campaign and I have to make all the cutthroat decisions. Mm-hmm. And we've had a good go.
We've
of it
had
thus
it pretty
far.
Easy. I'm like I even noticed that my armor class went down a little bit. This is going to be tough.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. It's like I'm excited to really like dig deep into my character to like achieve her full potential, you know, and really use like the tools I have to you know, the most gaggy benefit.
Well, on that very tasteful note, I think we'll leave it there and dive into some adventuring. Oh goodness. Well, thanks to everybody who's joined us. Thanks to the many people who've supported us on Kickstarter, hundreds and hundreds of folks.
Thank you so much. That was amazing. Thank you guys.
To everyone who's pitched in to make the show possible and who believes in this goofy little project. You are now a part of the fantasy.
Also, unbeknownst to them, if I ever see you out around in the country, I'll give you a blowjob.
Oh, good, good.
So that's another part of the kicks. I'm just kidding.
She is.
Oh, maybe not.
Kind and accommodating.
There you go.
Some generous backer rewards on this one.
Backer rewards. Even the fronter rewards.
Some frontal rewards.
Rusty tromboning, you know.
He was our very first backer. So anyway, so huge thanks to all of our supporters and everyone who's listening and everyone who makes the show possible, because you are a queen of adventure as well. We're just so grateful to have you listening and a part of the queer chosen family. That is the show. So
yay.
Love.
Kisses.
All right. Well, we'll see you next time on Behind the Queens of Adventure. Maybe that's what we'll call it.
Ooh.
James just gave me a look.
Behind the queens.
Instead of behind the scenes, behind the queens.
Okay, okay. There's some skeptical looks coming my way, so that might not happen.
What else?
Bye. Thanks to everyone who made Season 1 possible by backing the show on Kickstarter. Thanks to Sam Antonioli for the music and Chad Sell for the art. And until next time, sissy that roll.